Happy Friday, back in studio after an awesome time yesterday at the Holiday Boutique. And thank you to everybody who stopped by and said hi, and all of our guests that came by.
I ate macarons this morning for breakfast.
Did you? All right.
Breakfast-ish, I guess. It's yeah. Hey, I opened them this morning.
Today is, for those that don't know, and I trust, I will get back to the macaroons here in a second, but today's Jim Cunningham's last day here with KMBZ, yes. And we wish him nothing but the best. He's been here for a long time, and Jim is going on to a different career. But in the office, I don't know what's in the new box, but there was a cake. There's cinnamon rolls.
Did you look at the cake, though? There's one little corner taken out of the cake.
It says, you'll be missed. Like, Jim's dying. Jim's not dying. He's just leaving.
There's one just little corner out of the corner missing, yeah. And that's it.
But yeah, there's so much food here today. It's like it's a potluck day here on KMBZ of sweets.
I heard a rumor of tacos. Did that not happen today already? Does anybody know? Do tacos happen today?
I have seen no tacos.
I thought that's what Jim likes.
They're not actual tacos. They're Tostinos, little square, like...
they're like pizza rolls, only taco flavor, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they're really good, though. I mean, yeah, they're probably the worst thing in the world for you.
Yes.
Except for cake. But they're delicious.
How do you, by the way, for those that don't know, in the newsroom where we have the cinnamon rolls and the cake, and I don't know what's in the new box, they're always sitting right in front of Mark's desk.
Yeah.
It's really not cool, man.
How do you handle that every day?
I just get fat. That's what I do.
Yeah, that would make sense.
It's not fair.
But thanks again to everybody who stopped that out, including the fine people at the bakery and KCK, who brought us the rum chata gift basket, including what you had for breakfast, or air quote, breakfast this morning, Jamie.
Yeah, hopefully that's not going to be it. But it wasn't a bad way to start the day, though.
We've got a bunch of stuff to get to. Hopefully everybody's in a good mood because it's Friday. Weather's going to be pretty nice. Week out from Thanksgiving. We have new details on the story that we didn't have a ton of time to get into it yesterday because details were still coming out about the fake homeless New Jersey GoFundMe story.
So a lot of you had questions yesterday about what is going to happen now to the $400,000 in donations from people that donated to the campaign of this guy that the story that we thought was true. For those that missed kind of what happened yesterday. So the story that we thought was true was that a woman runs out of gas on a highway ramp in New Jersey. And a homeless guy uses his last $20 and buys her gas. And she is so grateful that she and her, I don't think they're married, she and her partner set up a GoFundMe for him. They give him food and they try to help him out. And they set up a GoFundMe for him that raises $400,000. It seemed like a great gesture until the case went to court in the last couple of months because the beneficiary of that, his name is Johnny Bobbitt, said, hey, you raised $400,000 for me and I've only gotten some of that. You haven't given me all of the money. That's when things seemed a little fishy to prosecutors. And as they started to look into it, they realized that the whole thing was a scam, which is something we started to get wind of yesterday. But there was a news conference after we got off the air yesterday in which more details came to light about how they all met and how this all was hatched. And so we'll get into some of that. But in answer to, first of all, the money that people donated to GoFundMe, GoFundMe says it will refund all of the money to those who donated to that campaign. Again, $400,000 was raised, and on Thursday, the Burlington County prosecutor, this is New Jersey, said the tale is fictitious and formed the basis of a scam. GoFundMe says there were 14,447 donors that gave money to help out Bobbitt, who is a Marine Corps veteran. And GoFundMe says the refunds will be coming in the coming days. Their full statement says all donors who contributed to this GoFundMe campaign will get a full refund. GoFundMe always fully protects donors, which is why we have a comprehensive refund policy in place. GoFundMe will process all refunds in the coming days. And then they address some of the questions that people had about donating to GoFundMe in the first place. They said, while this type of behavior by an individual is extremely rare, it is unacceptable and clearly has consequences. Committing fraud, whether it takes place on or offline, is against the law. We are fully cooperating and helping law enforcement officials to recover every dollar. Finally, it's important to understand that misuse is very rare on our platform. Campaigns with misuse make up less than 0.1% of all campaigns, and we have a zero tolerance policy for fraudulent behavior. If fraud occurs, donors get refunded, and we work with law enforcement to recover the money. So that's what GoFundMe said about it. So then what we've learned a little bit more about how everybody got to know each other, because the question we had yesterday was, well, what part of it was made up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, was the guy even homeless? Did she not run out of gas? What happened?
So what we know is he is a veteran and he has lived on the streets for a mm-hmm. while, lived on the street for several years. I want to know how this all began. Mr. Bobbitt and the couple first came to prominence in 2017. This is over a year ago when the crowdfunding campaign went on. You know that part of the story. Officials say that the photo that the three of them took was staged.
Yeah.
Was totally fake.
So, she did not run out of gas.
So we have to, I got to know, did they approach this guy a week before, a day before? How long has this couple been planning this? I mean, my gosh.
So this is in, there's a People.com story that explained how they met. I believe they met at a casino.
Yeah, this is from the BBC. Officials said yesterday they believe the photo was staged after the three met previously when Ms. McClure and Mr. D'Amico, the couple, visited a casino near an underpass where Mr. Bobbitt spent time.
Mm-hmm. And they, between the three of them, came up with this plan to go on to GoFundMe and raise money for him. But they needed a way for people to want to donate. They needed a good story for people to want to donate. And that's where they came up with the idea of her running out of gas.
Prosecutors at the Burlington County Prosecutor's Office believe the campaign was concocted a month before it was launched. So they think a month before the photo went viral and the generosity of 14,000 people opened up, they had come up with this plan. He's still in custody. He is still in custody. And the couple, they were released. They have a court date on Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas. You're going to court the day before. They all face potential sentences of 5 to 10 years for second degree crimes. Listen, I heard Dana and Parks kind of chatting about this yesterday. Is there anybody that thinks that he doesn't, that the homeless guy, that Bobbitt, doesn't go to jail? Because the other two plainly go to jail. So Dana, I think, was arguing that he was taken advantage of and therefore should shed little, if not any, responsibility. I don't think you can separate one from the other two.
I acknowledge that he was in a different position. I don't know what deal they made about, you know, was he really going to get all of the money? Because there's no way that was going to happen. There was no way that if this was all a lie, that he was going to get all of the money. You know, if they were helping to hatch the plan, then there had to have been some kind of agreement between them that the couple's going to get some part of this. Otherwise, why do it in the first place? Where he went, you know, where things went crazy was when he, you know, knew that they had made up the whole thing and then decided to go to police and say they're taking money that is due me. Like the fact that he didn't think that was going to, you know, that they were never going to figure out. I guess she sent a text message to someone shortly after the campaign went up admitting that it was all a lie. And they've got that text message that shows that. But in answer to your question, I think he does bear some responsibility.
Do you punish all three equally?
Yeah.
576-7798.
I think you do. Because so what if he was taken advantage of? He knows right from wrong. He knows that it was all made up.
Some would argue that he doesn't because he's a homeless veteran.
Yeah, but unless you can prove to me that he's insane, you know, like, you know, really insane and doesn't know the difference between right and wrong, I think if you say he's a Marine Corps veteran, he doesn't know right from wrong, I think you're insulting a lot of veterans by saying that. And so I think he knows right from wrong. And he knew that what they were doing was being made up and was a lie and that he stood to benefit from it. And I get that he's, you know, down on his luck and needed the money and, you know, but he knew that it was wrong. And so I think once you agree the plan, you know, they may bear a little bit more responsibility legally because it was their plan, but he was going to benefit from it. I mean, he was going to take however many hundreds of thousands of dollars that mm-hmm. was based on a lie, and he knew it.
576-7798. Do you punish all three of these equally? Do you punish the couple and the homeless guy equally for coming up with this plan, going through with it, taking the money? I think I have a theory of how this went awry. I mean, it went awry, obviously, but I think I have a theory of how it went awry. Love to hear from you, 576-7798. Do you punish all three the same? You can text in 22980. It's up on Facebook and Twitter. We'll get to your phone calls coming up next. 576-7798 is the phone number. Trying to keep Jamie's attention. I know there's a new baby in the newsroom.
And he's awake.
Oh, my Lord.
He's awake now.
Kara brought her baby in the newsroom. And
this is Jim's last day, and so.
Yeah. That's
an adorable. He's awake.
That is an adorable baby.
Oh, my gosh.
Aw. We'll get a picture and put it up on social media for people to see.
Yes.
You gonna 576-7798. Talking about the New Jersey homeless man who helped out a woman, allegedly, with his final $20. You know the story by now. Turned out it was all fake. And they're both the couple and the homeless man are being charged and could face 5 to 10 years. Do you charge all three of them the same? The couple and the homeless guy who, let's be honest, stole $400,000 from donors on GoFundMe. 576-7798. You can text 22980.
I think you do. I know that he was at the disadvantage and maybe was in a weak, vulnerable standpoint when they asked him about it, but he knew it was wrong. He knew they were making up a story. He posed for the picture that he knew was a lie. He stood to benefit the most, in theory. I don't know what their agreement was about how much money mm-hmm. he was going to get. And he was the one that went to police when they weren't giving him the money that he said he was due. In some ways, it's his fault that this all came crashing down in the first place.
I think it was all three of them. I actually fault the couple for not setting this up a lot as well, because they got greedy, they got mm-hmm. impatient, they got stupid. What they should have done, honestly, is let the money roll in. Mm-hmm. Sit on it for a year. Don't go to Vegas. Yeah. Don't buy BMWs.
Yeah.
I mean, if you ever see the movie Goodfellas,
mm-hmm.
Travis, you've seen the movie Goodfellas, right?
I've seen it multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
Multiple times.
You know, after the Rotunda heist,
mm-hmm.
when all of a sudden they're all celebrating around Christmas and somebody rolls up and his wife is in a mink coat and the pink Cadillac is outside and De Niro's yelling at him, like, what are you doing?
Should have given him his share, whatever it was. The problem is that on GoFundMe, you know, the idea was that all the money was going to go to him. And so he was going to be in a power position a little bit, because if they didn't give him all that $400,000, he had, you know, reason to start squawking about it. I'm sure they had a deal, though,
mm-hmm.
that there's no way they were just going to do this out of the goodness of their hearts. I'm sure they had a deal that they were to get some cut of this.
Right.
The problem is they took their cut first.
They took their cut first, and everybody found out about mm-hmm. it. They went to Vegas. They went on these trips, and they bought these cars. 576-7798. Right to the phones. Denise, you're on KMBZ. Denise, do you punish all three equally?
That's not what's going to happen. What's going to happen is the veteran is going to be given a plea bargain deal since he went to the police first. So that's what's going to happen.
All right. Thank you very much for the phone call, Denise. Josh, you're on KMBZ.
My thought on it is, I mean, they all set it up and executed it together, and that's when the law was broken. I mean, no matter who benefited more in the end, they had the same amount, equally involvement in the setting it up. So I think they're equally responsible.
You're going all three. Hey, Josh, thanks, man. 576-7798. Branson, you're next up on 98.1 KMBZ.
Hi. So I think actually that I understand the plea bargain is going to be a thing. That's for sure what Denise said. That's true. And I feel like that's actually going to be a positive thing for the veteran because, again, he was in duress. And I feel like that was a precarious position for him to be in, to say yes to this. He was wrong. He should still do time. The other two, let's address the fact that this is a serious human offense, guys. GoFundMe is for people that are supposed to be down on their luck, and the people that donate and give are giving out of their heart generosity. That's a huge hit to humanity there, guys. The veterans should do time.
And I'm not I don't work for GoFundMe, but GoFundMe is going to take a hit. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is going to reduce campaign donations by 5% or 10% or 20%, but there are a lot of people out there. I mean, I listened to the people on the afternoon show yesterday. A lot of people will never donate to GoFundMe ever again.
Well, but those people need to understand, though, that GoFundMe is giving all the money back. I mean, so at least GoFundMe, those people that donated to this campaign are not out of dime, because GoFundMe is going to refund everything.
But I think people wonder, you know, refunds aside, have I donated to campaigns and not heard that they were lying? Like, well,
that's the chance you take, though.
But that's exactly my point. There are a lot of people that are going to think, oh, little Timmy needs a heart transplant. Is there really a little Timmy? Is there really a heart transplant? And then little Timmy, who might actually need the heart transplant, gets nothing because of this couple.
Yeah.
Branson, thanks for your phone call. Marlene, you're on KMBZ.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
And you know something? They all should be charged. He knew. He knew, and he entered into the contract with them. There's no excuse. He's a veteran. He should stand up honorably. And you know something? If he'd asked for it on his own, he would have gotten it. You know, because people love vets at this stage. I think it's just sad.
I don't think he would have gotten $400,000 if he had just asked for it.
Well, it doesn't matter. Whether he got 50 or 400,000, who cares? He still would have gotten something. You know, he was wrong. He deserves to be punished.
Marlene, thank you for your phone call. I mean, veterans are on the streets, sadly, asking for things all the time, and we don't give them anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, think about that. You can say if he would ask, he would get, but last time I'm sure you were at a traffic light and a guy holding up a sign saying, homeless veteran, anything helps, you locked your doors.
Yeah.
Cindy, you're next up on KMBZ.
Hi. I agree that all three are guilty, but I feel like the couple took advantage of him. He's a vet. He's homeless. And he would probably do anything to get out of the situation. So, yes, he's guilty, but he's a vet.
Do you do you charge all three equally?
No.
Because he's a veteran?
Because he's a veteran, because he's homeless. And I feel like they took advantage of him. He could be suffering from,
PTSD.
Yes. So, you know, there's all kinds of things that can play into it. And if he knew that he was that much guilty, why did he go to the police in the first place?
Yeah, it was a stupid move. He went to the police complaining that he wasn't getting his share of this big scheme. But I think he thought it was okay, you know, that, hey, we scammed everybody. Nobody's found us out yet. They won't now, you know. I'm sure they assured him, don't worry, you know, nobody will ever find out. We'll make sure. Yeah, I'm sure he just took their word for it.
Midday with Jamie and Wicket, 576-7798. Laura's been hanging through the news, and we appreciate that. What's up, Laura?
Hey, love your show.
Thank you.
I just want to say that just because you're homeless does not make you stupid or honest. So, well, he may not be quite as culpable, but he is. But mostly, I just want to say on GoFundMe, they usually they're asking for a certain amount of money. So when they reach that cap, why are they letting them get more? They should stop that. And why are donors donating if they've already met their goal? Does that make sense?
I mean, people are being generous.
Yeah, but what? If you want to give, go find that. When I do that, I usually do it in my local community. Okay. Of someone I've heard in the news, when a child. So if they ask for, if they get that much more, I just don't think that makes sense to me. I think it makes the donors just as guilty.
Okay. Hey, Laura, thank you very much. We appreciate it. It's on our Facebook page. Let us know if you think that all three should be charged equally. Facebook.com/981KMBZ.
All right. Our next story I just saw randomly very early this morning. And it's about the city of Riverton, Wyoming, which is population 10,600. Okay. So what we're going to tell you about is not going to affect a ton of people. But nonetheless, I thought it was a really interesting idea. So out of WyomingNews.com, A new ordinance is under consideration in Riverton that would create a list of habitually intoxicated persons who are barred from buying alcohol in city limits. Riverton City Council approved the ordinance on a first reading back on October 2nd. The change would make it unlawful to sell, give away, or otherwise furnish an alcoholic beverage to someone who has been declared habitually intoxicated under terms of the ordinance. And we'll give you definitions here in a second. Two additional readings would be required before the ordinance took effect. The ordinance states a person who is habitually intoxicated may lack self-control as to the use of alcoholic beverages and the use of such beverages to the extent that their health, welfare, and safety is substantially disrupted. Such conduct is dangerous to the individual and others. It is in the interest of the health, welfare, and safety of residents and guests here to ban the harmful conduct of an habitually intoxicated person. So here's how they are defining that. Again, what they are saying is that if you are on this list, if they say you are somebody who gets drunk too much, we are not going to sell you alcohol in our city. This is not the same thing as DUI, although you could draw some comparisons to that, that if you, you know, get enough DUIs, then they don't let you drive. If they declare you to be habitually intoxicated, you can no longer buy alcohol in this town. So by definition, a known habitually intoxicated person is defined as a person who in the last 180 days has been convicted of six or more criminal offenses through the Riverton Municipal Court in which a judge determines the person to be guilty of being under the influence of alcohol to a degree to which they were a danger to themselves or others at the time of the commission of the crime. So you can't just be the drunk guy in the bar. You've got to have committed six or more crimes in 6 months.
Okay.
Which is a lot.
That's a lot of crimes in 6 months.
But it could be, but all you have to do is end up before a judge, basically, and the judge decides, you know, the judge is basically deciding you are an habitually intoxicated person. You have been before me these 6 times, and I've decided that alcohol is enough of an influence that I am putting you on this list. People may also voluntarily request inclusion on the list, which will be distributed to each liquor license holder in town. So if you feel like you are an alcoholic and you have no self-control whatsoever, you could ask to be on this list. And if you go into Bob's Liquor Store, I assume they're going to have to check that list every time someone buys alcohol. I assume it's going to be like the bad checklist. You know, when we used to have the people that would write too many bad checks, they're going to check that list. And if your name is on it, legally, they are not allowed to sell you alcohol.
If you have committed 6 crimes in 6 months, I have no problem with this. I can't imagine. I mean, we took those calls earlier in the week. We've had, for some reason, alcohol has been a theme this week. I don't imagine Buddy, who called in earlier this week and claimed he drank 20 beers a day, is going to recognize his problem. He called it his medication. He said that drinking 8 would be a tease. I don't think Buddy's putting himself on this list, as we would probably all, as human beings, like him to do. And unless he throws himself, you know, into 6 different legal situations or crimes or whatever, I don't know the point of this.
Keep in mind, public intoxication is a crime.
Yeah.
And so all you have to do is be caught by police 6 times in 180 days for public intoxication, and that counts.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are somebody, it just seems like police could pretty easily target people. The police chief said 15 to 20 people would be on the list right away, with some of those individuals showing up to 30 arrests for public intoxication in the last 6 months. 30 arrests, public intoxication in the last 6 months.
So this is under consideration. This is not gone into effect.
No.
I got to imagine that you're cutting into some of your biggest profits from these bars and liquor stores if you're going to take the drunkards, you know. And take
so what? They're considering it a public safety risk to have somebody that cannot control their liquor to the point that they're getting arrested for public intoxication so much. If they would just get drunk in the privacy of their own home, it wouldn't be as big of a deal.
Yeah, but if I go to a bar and I have 12 drinks and I'm drunk, that's not illegal.
No, but if you are caught, I don't know. I don't know what. I've never been arrested for public intoxication. I don't know how they. I don't know how they arrest you for public intoxication. But if you meet, we can look it up. Maybe we can look it up and see what the criminal offense is. No, it's not illegal to be drunk, but public intoxication is a crime. And so if you are, and I don't know if that means if you're being, you know, violating noise ordinances, if you're causing trouble or whatever, but if you commit that crime of public intoxication, yeah.
I mean, if I am walking around and vomit in the middle of the street and I can barely stand up, that's public intoxication. But if I get drunk and walk down the street and I don't bother anybody, I don't do anything to be disorderly, I'm not breaking the law.
But again, we need to find out what the definition of public intoxication, what it means to commit that offense, because that is an offense in Wyoming.
It varies. I mean, I can look it up in Wyoming exactly, but...
So, no, it's not illegal to be drunk in public, but this is a crime.
Often called being drunk and disorderly is a legal charge alleging that a person is visibly drunk or under the influence of drugs in public. It is usually a misdemeanor crime under most state and local law. I get that. But again, this seems to be a lot... And I don't understand... I mean, is this really... I wonder if in Riverton, Wyoming, if it's that massive of a problem.
Well, they said they've got 20 people that would go on this list right away.
Wow.
So they've got 20 people, some of them, again, who have been caught for public intoxication 30 times in 6 months. It sounds like they've got a problem with some people, and they're looking for a way to these people to stop getting, you know, served so much that they don't have the self-control. Now they're becoming a danger and a public nuisance. If you're out in public that often and you're disorderly and you're bothering people or whatever, they're looking for a way, you know, to protect the public.
576-7798. Gary, you're on KMBZ. What's up, Gary?
Yeah. I worked with a guy that would drink a 24-pack a day.
Okay.
And he drove to work. I've never seen him act drunk or make poor decisions because he was drunk. We were heavy equipment mechanics, and he would do any job, and he was really good at it. It didn't matter what. He was the nicest guy you'd ever meet. You know, a lot of times drunks, they're mean. They can't work or not work well. This guy was top notch, and he drank 24 cans a day.
That seems like a lot. Would he have to go automatically on this list? I mean, or does he cause a problem when he's intoxicated at that level?
No. No, you've never. I'd never seen him act like a drunk.
Hmm.
He was always, like I say, really self-conscious about what he did. He did a. You couldn't have asked for a better person. You couldn't ask for a better mechanic. He made sharp decisions, but he drank 24 cans of beer a day.
I'm glad I don't know what, or maybe I do want to know what where he works, because I would never want to bring my car there. I don't want a guy drinking a case of beer mm-hmm. over the course of 2 days, 12 beers a day, working on my brakes.
Yeah.
And he may be sharp, as you say, Gary. He probably knows a hell of a lot more about automobiles than I ever will. But that dude I don't want working on my car.
Somebody just made a good point. Well, maybe. So somebody said, so you'd have to show your ID to buy alcohol. Well, in theory, they're carding everybody anyway to make sure you're over 21. Mm-hmm. So that shouldn't be a problem. My thought when this person said that was, well, what if you don't have an ID? You know, what if you don't have a state-issued ID? We talk about this with voting. What if you don't have a state-issued ID or some kind of driver's license, but you should have one to buy alcohol so they can card you to make sure you're 21.
576-7798. Gary, thank you for your phone call, man. We'll get to Steve. Happy Friday to you. We are talking about a story out of Wyoming about a habitually intoxicated ordinance.
So this is Riverton, Wyoming, and it's something that they're considering putting on the books. They're considering creating a list of people who they would consider to be habitually intoxicated, meaning... If you get 6 or more arrests, criminal arrests that are related to being intoxicated within 6 months, you would go on this list. And if you're on this list, when you go in to buy alcohol, whoever is selling it to you is going to have to check the list. And if they see that you're on it, they cannot sell you alcohol. And it applies to anybody with a liquor license. So whether it's a bar or a store, they cannot sell you alcohol. The police chief in Riverton says they've got 15 to 20 people that would go on this list right away because they have some people that have 30 or more arrests for public intoxication in 6 months. And public intoxication counts as one of the criminal offenses that would get you on this list. It sounds like they've got a problem. It sounds like they've got a problem with some people being drunk in public or DUIs or doing other things where they're ending up before judges. It sounds like they've got a problem with their court system then because these people keep ending up behind judges, in front of judges. And if public intoxication is a problem, these people are out being disorderly, bothering people, and they're trying to figure out what to do with them.
I have zero issue if you have six alcohol-related crimes with you being on this list. But as long as you're not out there doing anything wrong after some beers and whatever, I don't think there's a reason for you to be on this one.
And you wouldn't be. I mean, you would, again, you would have to commit the crimes.
576-7798. By the way, I don't even know if it should be six. I think it might have to be three in my mind. I mean, six is a lot.
Yeah.
I mean,
some have 30.
Yeah.
In 6 months.
I've never been to Wyoming, but I'm not sure there's a whole lot to do up there.
There are big national parks in Wyoming.
Get drunk and go to a national
big
park.
National parks.
Steve, you're on KMBZ. What's up, Steve? Happy Friday.
Hey guys.
Yo.
I think it's going to put an undue burden on those store owners. They're not supposed to be policing people.
All they got to do is check a list.
It's different with the checks. For stolen checks, they're protecting themselves, and it's voluntary. There's not going to be any kind of prosecution for them for not checking a bounce checklist.
But all you got to do is check a list and see if somebody's on it. And if they are, then you can't sell them alcohol.
Doesn't matter.
What's hard about that?
It's not their responsibility.
It will be if this becomes law.
Yeah, and I'm going to take it turned overturned.
We'll keep an eye on this one. We are your home for Riverton, Wyoming news. And if it does, we'll find out. I mean, if it's getting to the point, like let's say this was Overland Park. All right. I don't know how big Riverton, Wyoming is? Do we
10,500 people.
All right. So what is it? Olathe? What is that? Olathe?
Is it? No, Olathe is much bigger than 10,500 people.
How many
Mission?
Mission. Okay, Mission. If this was a problem in Mission and we had to do something like this, like the idea would be that Mission police or Mission government would want to make the streets, walking up and down the streets, safe for its community.
And think about that. If you've got somebody that has been arrested 30 times for public intoxication in 6 months, think about your police resources that are being dedicated to these people mm-hmm. that just can't quit causing a problem when they get drunk in public. To me, you save police resources by doing this because they no longer, you can't sell them alcohol, then they're not going to have this problem.
Thank you for your phone call, Steve. We appreciate it, man. Let's go to Phil on KMBZ. What's up, Phil?
Say, this is Riverton, Wyoming, right?
Yes.
Okay, I do believe there's an Indian reservation nearby. The point I'm trying to make is I think this will target Native Americans and American Indian peoples. There is problems with alcoholism, especially on reservations. So I think the bottom line in this is that's what's going to happen. It's the bottom line is going to target people of American Indian descent, probably from the reservation, et cetera. So that's what I read into in any way.
You know, I don't know. I don't know what the Native American population of that part of the country is.
He's right. It's right in the middle of the Wind River Reservation.
Okay. All right.
If it targets them, I'm okay with it. If they're the ones that are breaking the law, and I mean, if they need police to spend that much time arresting people for public intoxication, fine.
576-7798. Scott, you're next up on KMBZ. What's up, Scott?
Hey, you keep saying public intoxication, and when you say that, it makes me think that they're not driving. But the problem I have if they have this ordinance is, okay, they can't get their alcohol in Riverton. They drive over to another town. They get drunk, and they drive back. So now you got problems with DUI. That's the problem I see with this.
They'll just go on to the next town, do whatever they need to do, and drive back?
Yeah, get drunk. Buy their alcohol in another town because they're banned in their town.
Yeah.
I mean, and then they drive back.
It is a way around it. And if you've ever been in a part of the country or a part of the city that's a dry county, and I assume we have some in Kansas and Missouri, but mm-hmm. I wouldn't know exactly where those are. But that's what people who do drink do is they'll be like, all right, I'm just going to go to this side of town, go get my booze, go get my drink on. Hopefully they're not driving after they get their drink on before they come back. I mean, there are ways around it, but if it's this bad and people leave the town, then police got to be thrilled because they just moved mm-hmm. 30 drunkards out of the city.
Yeah, I mean, it's not their problem.
Right. If the idea is to eradicate the problem of wasted people walking up and down the street and doing, you know, committing nefarious activities and being a nuisance, and they leave, then they win.
But then you can get grant money to do patrols and that kind of thing. I mean, you can, you know, you can set up DUI checkpoints and get grant money for that kind of thing. And then you catch them for DUI if you have to. And then you take their license and they can't drive.
576-7798. Matt, you're on KMBZ. What's up, Matt?
Oh, not much. How are you guys today?
Doing all right.
Good. So my point is this. At what point do we start holding the judges accountable? The people who, I mean, someone who's had 30 charges against them, the judges need to have something against them because they're just obviously aren't taking care of the problem. There's no reason to punish the business owners and try to make them responsible when the people who supposedly uphold the laws that are on the books are ignoring them.
Well, wait, hold on a minute. What do you mean? Because we've got 2 minutes before news here. What do you mean ignoring them? What do you think they're not doing about it?
Well, I mean, someone who's had 30 offenses, I don't see how they couldn't. You know, obviously, I'm not a lawyer or anything, but shouldn't they be in jail? Shouldn't they have spent time?
I would,
you know, doing something. I mean, with 30 offenses, that's insane.
Or it could be the sentencing guidelines of it. This is a misdemeanor. Public intoxication is a misdemeanor. I don't know at what point you end up behind bars, but yeah, that's a point.
It's a good one. Matt, thanks, man. Barry, you're on KMBZ. Hi, Barry.
Hi, bud.
What's up, man?
Hey, I've been there. That is a beautiful part of Wyoming, but alcohol, I've watched people come in there with kids and little cartons and stuff and walk out of there with $100 worth of booze and stumble back to their hotel room and leave the kids with nothing. You know, the kids were hungry. They were looked like it.
So booze is cheap is what you're saying.
It is, and it's rampant. It's everywhere.
Hmm. I've never been, man. I've never been. And thank you for the phone call, Barry. Appreciate it. So booze is that cheap in this town. I was always told that states like Wyoming and North Dakota had expensive stuff. You know, beers that are $3 here are $7 there because fewer trucks get up there. So it's supply and demand. I guess, and what Barry's saying is, that's wrong.
Yeah, I don't know.
Have you been to...
I spent one night in Wyoming.
Okay.
And
you didn't go to the bar?
Didn't go get trashed. No.
You're not doing Wyoming right, Jamie. What are you possibly thinking? It's over on our Facebook page. You want to check it out, you can. Facebook.com/981KMBZ. The habitually intoxicated list in Riverton, Wyoming.